This is Pod Populi,
podcast for the people.
The Great Love Debate. It's the Great Love Debate.
The Great Love Debate. It's the Great Love Debate.
Hi again, everyone. It's Brian Howie. Welcome to The Great Love Debate, the world's number one dating and relationship podcast since 2015. I am here in the very fine studios of Pod Populi, podcast for the people. I'm at the one in Cleveland. I'm at Pod Populi Cleveland. I'm not sure I've ever recorded one here, but it's very, very nice. It's not necessarily that nice in Cleveland at the time of year I am recording this, but Cleveland has a bad publicist. Cleveland let the joke about Cleveland get out there the way New Jersey did. Like, there's a lot of New Jersey jokes, there's a lot of Cleveland jokes, but both New Jersey and Cleveland are awesome. They just need a better publicist, so maybe I'll be that publicist for Jersey and Cleveland. So as I record this, we are pretty much wrapping our ninth season of our live tour. Wasn't the most active of our nine seasons, but we did wrap it up. And it's the eighth year of this podcast. And somebody asked me, how much longer are you going to do the Great Love Debate? And I said, forever. I mean, might I stop doing the live shows? Probably. They've gotten to be a bit labor intensive, and it's a lot of travel, and my price tag, I think, has become prohibitive for a lot of venues in a lot of cities. So, sorry, Cincinnati. Probably not making it. But this podcast, I think I'm always going to do this. As the saying goes around here in the studios of Pod Populi, podcast for the people, it's said that a great podcast is formed at the intersection of passion and curiosity. And I still have both those things for this show and these conversations. And I imagine I'll be still talking about all of this stuff for as long as I am alive. And I'll probably haunt you guys from the grave with it even after I'm gone. Ask her out, guys. You're going to be hearing that. You're going to be hearing that. So when I first started this whole thing, my manager at the time said, I think the way this ends is you announce your engagement on the last episode, and that's it. And you kind of ride off into the sunset. And at the time, I thought it was a great idea. It was like a finale. It was like, I'll do this show until that happens, and when that happens, bon voyage. Sayonara. That's it. Thought it was great. Great finale. Natural exclamation point to this whole journey. But even if that happened, and that probably will happen as an episode, we're all about content here. So that will be an episode. I don't think it should be a stopping point, because there is no stopping point. The conversation continues. The curiosity continues. The relationship continues, as do I, as do you. And we ask and think and grow and share and hopefully evolve. And I think that's the most important thing of all, evolve. And I think, not to give myself any credit, but I think I have evolved. And whether you think I have is sort of irrelevant. You may think I'm every bit of the jackass I always was, and that's fine. Maybe I am. But as long as I think and I feel that somehow I have some growth, or some new part of me is clicked in a different way, or I've made some progress, or there's evolution, I think that matters. I feel different. I feel more. I feel more often. I think I feel things I didn't know and didn't think and didn't believe. I feel things for others. I feel better things. And I think I just feel better. I do. And a lot of it's from doing this show and having these conversations and hearing from so many people in so many places all over the world. But mostly why I think and feel and have shifted a lot of it is mostly the work of a couple of women. One who was and is a therapist. And the other one who's just a really amazing person who got me to see things differently. But I mentioned the therapist. And when years ago, I heard my parents found out that I was going to therapy because I'd mentioned it to one of my sisters. And they told my sister, Brian is doing some weird California thing. That's how they regarded it. That's how they regarded self-help, asking questions, going deeper, a weird California thing. And maybe, this wasn't that long ago, but maybe 20 or 30 years ago, it was. Maybe therapy was a weird California thing, especially for a man. But 20 or 30 years ago, Botox was a weird California thing and still is for a man. Don't do it, guys. But for the rest of you, Botox and therapy is normal and needed. I think that's what it is. Figuring out what is wrong and being able to see what is right about you and your world and the people around you. That's really, really important. We always live in this kind of darkness, and especially in the last couple of years, we've been in this darkness. I think you have to figure out what is right about you. That's just as important, if not more so. And it's not easy, and it's a process, and it's a process that is ongoing, kind of like this show. And so going through all this, I learned some things about me, and I learned some things about all of us. I learned some things from therapy, but I've learned a ton more from doing this show and having conversations from people who are sitting at this table and in this studio and hearing from people all over the place. Live shows, emails, you guys reaching out. It's a process. So when I learn these things about me and about all of us collectively, because all of this is really a conversation for all of us that I think are important and that should matter, I kind of narrowed it down. I kind of narrowed it down to the five things we all need to hear. If you need a concise title, that's it. The five things we all need to hear. And why all of the why these things are meaning to me. And I think to all of you. So I'm going to give that to you. That's a teaser here, but that's what we're going to dive into here. I have to take a quick break. Got to pay for these fancy studios in Cleveland. But I'm going to get into the five things that we need to hear, I need to hear, and why we need to hear them right after this. And we are back. And we are talking, I guess, about how fucked up I was and may or may not still be. Fun show. So when I started going to the therapist, the good therapist, and she was good because she created an environment where I could be comfortable and open and honest. And I had gone to some others, and these other therapists, I felt like I would either need to win the sessions or I would on some level need to charm them or I would need to try to outsmart them. And I kind of wanted them to absolve me of everything. I wanted them to be like, what are you doing here? So I'd be like, hey, I think maybe there's something wrong with me. And she would be like, well, maybe there is. That'll be $300, please. And she wasn't wrong to say that, but she was just like, what would you like me to do? She knew, and she was a smart therapist. I just wasn't ready for it at the time. She was just like, what do you want me to tell you? You're fine. Everything's good. You wanted, that's what she thought I was paying her for, to be like, everybody else is fucked up. It's not you. But I wasn't ready to hear that. I wanted more out of her and out of doing this, but I wasn't giving more. And you have to give to receive in pretty much in anything in life, but especially in any kind of counseling. So anyway, fast forward, the good one that I found, she was and absolutely is a therapist, but she is also a shaman, I think, and she's a healer, and she's just the right amount of absolute kook that I needed to completely dive into her way of thinking, and it's a wacky way of thinking, but to sort of dive into the muck of my own way of thinking, I need to go to a new way of thinking. Does that make sense? You can rewind and listen to that if you want. So she likes to ask questions and she likes to make lists and that's her style and oh well. So she asked me, what do you need to hear? What do you need to feel? And what do you need to receive? So the through line there is need, but that, I think that was at our core. What was the hole in me that needed to be filled? So it was, what do you need to hear? What do you need to feel? And what do you need to receive? And I wasn't sure what that meant. or what goes where and what leads to what. But at the time, and this goes back about as long as this show, but I started to write them down. So she gives me this little pink pad of paper and I start to write down first things that came on top of my head. And I wrote down five things. I wrote down good morning. I wrote down good night. I wrote down I love you. I wrote down thank you. And I wrote down I'm sorry. I did not write down tater tots, but I did need them. But I wrote down those five things. And those would be like, I don't know why, but I remember that I wrote them down. So didn't want to overthink the moment. I just wanted to get to the, I wanted to know why she asked me to do that. So I kind of quickly got through the list, but you know, I wasn't too far off. So I'll get into the why I said each of those in a moment. But at the time she looked at the list and said, which do you need to hear the most and why? And at the time, this is back in like 2014, 2015, I said that number one on the list was probably thank you. I really think I needed to hear thank you. And she's like, for what? And so she began to explore that. Why did I need thank you as much as the what for? She's like, why did you need that? Why did I need gratitude? What was it about those two words that made me feel appreciated? And so we spent hours and hours and very expensive, a lot of sessions on why did I need thank you? And what was this longing for appreciation, gratitude, which is kind of weird to think about and look back on, like of all the things a person needed to hear and feel, why would thank you be number one for me? And at the time, couldn't I have just gotten a job as a barista and handed out a lot of lattes or as a bellman and hold doors and grab suitcases and be on the receiving end of not just tips, but 100 thank yous a day and feel good about it? She looked into that. She dove into that. She started to peel back the onion. It wasn't really about that. It wasn't about the people saying it. And so we broke it down further. Thank you implies that the recipient did something good. Thank you to me told me I did something good. I made somebody feel better. I contributed something positive in some way. And so we went a little deeper than that. But why? She's like, but why? Why did I care about that? And to make a long story longer, essentially, she believes, and I agree with her, that it was rooted in guilt. That I felt like I wasn't always nice. Still not always nice. I wasn't always gracious. I certainly wasn't always the best guy or boyfriend or somebody to go out with or go home with or whatever. I think I was kind of an asshole because, let's face it, kind of an asshole goes a long, long way in the dating world or any world. The business world goes far. Goes farther than you think. Goes farther than we all want to admit. Unfortunately, it's true. But you still don't feel great about it. It's like a dirty pleasure. It's a bad habit. It's a heartless fix. So for me, it wasn't deep, but it was candy. I needed it 2014, 2015. And I still absolutely like it. I think it's good manners, but it's a bit more about a bond or a connection than about putting a Band-Aid over my behavior. That's how that has evolved. That is how those two words have evolved to me. So when I'm around kids should absolutely be taught to say it and receive it. It matters. I like it. I need it. I feel good about it. It's the very least we can do as a society. That's why a few podcasts ago, I talked about how we hold the door sometimes for women now and they get mad because it's like a gesture of you think I'm weak. Why are you holding the door? Just fucking say thank you. Okay. Or say nothing. People are holding the door to be nice, to help out, to share in this world. It's tough for everybody. Hold the door. Be gracious. Say it. Feel it. But as we moved along in therapy and years went by, it wasn't number one for me. It's not number one for me now. And a couple years later, it wasn't number one again. It's changed. So let me quickly sidebar and get two of the other less dramatic ones out of the way here, and I'll explain those. Because you're like, you really need good morning and good night? And I barely say goodbye on the phone. I'm certainly not the one to say those things. So why were those two of the top five? And are those still two of the top five? Well, yeah, sort of. I mean, I don't need it from strangers. And I don't need to be walking by you in the street and say or hear a good morning. It actually kind of makes me uncomfortable if somebody's like, good morning. Like, I don't want it from strangers. It's not about that. But I think the reason those two made the list then and still make the list now is because it is rooted in my desire, need, craving, whatever the words you want to say are, for my girlfriend, fiance, partner, wife, my main person in my life to be on their mind when they wake up and on my mind before they go to bed or we go to bed. And you might be like, isn't that kind of incredibly self-centered? For sure. Is it a bit needy? Absolutely. Is it reasonable to ask from someone, I don't know, who's incredibly busy or preoccupied with whatever they've got going on in their world? I don't care. This is my therapy. These are my answers. That's what I cracked open and came up with. I want to feel that bond. I want to feel like we're in this together. This day that we're about to embark on, this night, me, you, us, I want to greet you and say goodnight to you. First thought, last thought, or close to it. You want to go brush your teeth after? Fine. You want to go to the gym first and then say it? Fine. Because that's what I want to say. That's what I want to wake up and think. That's what I want to give. That's what I want to feel. And to me, it really is the absolute bare minimum of neediness. I'm not asking for French toast when you wake up. And I'm not asking for a back rub on the back end. Good morning. Good night. It's bookends to a day. It's we put a bow on this thing that we are sharing together. It's symmetry, me, you. Does it make sense? Hopefully. Maybe, maybe not. Therapy doesn't always have to make sense. The answers don't have to make sense. It's the journey that matters. That's where I am on the journey. So now you've got three of them down. So of course you're saying, well, of course I love you was on the list. And about 3 years into therapy, so we're looking at, 2015-ish, 16-ish, something like that. She asked me for this list again. She took out the old list and she said, make the list. And the same five things came out. We started to examine it. But the same five things were not in that order. It's like a Taylor Swift remix. This time, I Love You was at number one. And so why did I need that in, say, 2017? Well, I think it's because obviously I hadn't heard enough of it. I hadn't said enough of it. I didn't feel enough of it. And most importantly, I think I didn't trust enough of it. And well, you say, well, you can't hope to hear it and then say it and you don't trust it. You can't want it and then like, oh, you thank you and you don't trust that. Well, yes, that's an excellent point of hypocrisy you're pointing out, Great Love listeners. I think you're right. I agree with you. I think I wanted to hear it because I wanted to believe it. And as I've said far too many times on and off this podcast, I Love Yous were not available for consumption or distribution in the House of Howie. And everything probably stems back to that. So I needed it. So halfway through this journey, from the beginning to now, I needed it from the right person, with the right meaning, at the right time. And so when you get it and feel it and believe it, it's probably still one. And it probably should always be one, but it isn't because it isn't. People say it for all sorts of reasons. People give you all sorts of looks and gestures and things when they say it. People want to hear it for all sorts of reasons, and they don't even understand why they are saying it. I love Twizzlers. I love dogs. Oh my God, I love White Lotus. The word has sort of been diluted. You don't define it for yourself. You need to define it before you can say it, feel it, hear it. people say it because they think it's what the other person wants to hear. Often, not all the time. They say it because they're supposed to. They say it out of habit or obligation. Or they give what I call the Gesundheit, I love you, which is I love you too. I like the freestanding, random, middle of the street, middle of the day, I love you. So when you hear it, or even when you say it, there are a whole lot of who, what, where, when, hows that come into play. And while I was able to overlook all of that a few years ago, I don't think I can do that quite as well now. And so maybe that's me evolving, or maybe that's my neuroses, or maybe because I literally have the word love in the title of this show that perhaps I'm numb to it. How special can it be if I say it 50 times a day? Well, maybe it can be really special. Because maybe if you say it to the right person and hear it from the right person, it is far and away still number one. Because they're number one and you're number one. So maybe it should always be at the top. Probably should be. But for me, at this time, for this purpose, as we went on, kind of got bumped to number two. So 7, 8 years, I needed thank you. And then I needed I love you. And I always needed good morning and good night. But now rolling into 2023, the number one thing for me is, and you're checking your notes now, like what's left on the list? Yep, I'm sorry. Huh. And before you're like, well, that's a downer. Let me explain. I'm sorry is the one that I think has the highest level of sincerity. And I think has the most upside. It's definitely the hardest to say. It's definitely the deepest to feel. I think it's the best to receive. It does the most to sort of move your core. And I'm not saying it's magical and it wipes the whole slate clean. This isn't Catholic confession. And it does not absolve all wrongs and sins. It's not just a get out of jail free card. But I'm saying that it can do the most. It can put a relationship back on track. It can start the most honest form of communication. It can be the gateway to hearing and understanding and sharing. Doesn't forgive everything. But I think it avoids things spiraling to a point of no return. It's an acknowledgement, not of fault, not even of facts, but of caring. You have to care to say, I'm sorry. You have to feel something to say, I'm sorry. And you have to go to a place that you don't want to go to say, I'm sorry. And that's what therapy is sometimes all about, as are relationships, as are podcasts even, going to the places you don't really want to go or didn't expect to. You have to go deep to find I'm sorry. You have to go deep to receive it and share it. Same with all this stuff. All of it. So I appreciate you, great love listeners. I thank you. If you're listening to this at the beginning of your day, good morning. If you're listening to this with your head on the pillow, good night. I love you. If this was all too much for you and it didn't make you laugh and this isn't what you tuned in for, I'm sorry. But I think it made you think. And if we can do that and make you do it with passion and curiosity, well, welcome to the Great Love Debate. Onward. You got something that should be added to your list or my list, shoot me an email, greatlovedebate@gmail.com, and we will probably follow up on this in the days ahead. Please, as always, like, share, review, and follow this podcast. Your reviews mean a lot in the podcasting ecosystem. Check out greatlovedebate.com, our live tour schedule. I can guarantee you we will be doing a 10th season of live shows. I'm not sure how detailed it would be or how many I will do, but we will be doing... You'll see. Go to greatlovedebate.com after the first of the year and check it all out. Onward we go. Because as always at the Great Love Debate, we never stop making love. See you next time.